This Shabbos, Parshas Pikudei, is a busy Shabbos. On the one hand, it's Shabbos Pikudei. That itself is worth quite a bit. Number two, it's Shabbos Chazak. It's the theme of Chumash Shemos. Number three, it's Shabbos Shkolim, two Sifrei Torah. And number four, number four, it's Shabbos Mevarchim. And number five, it is Erev Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so we have quite a number of things. When it rains, it pours. It's Shkolim, you lay in Shkolim. That's one of the rules that the Dala Parshios is Docha the Erev Rosh Chodesh, Moch Chodesh. Some have a custom to read a few psukim from Moch Chodesh. If you were to lay in from a cloth, then you would not do so, because you cannot go from, you don't go from one to another. But if you're learning from a chumash, it's not such a big deal, so there are different customs. Some rabbanim will instruct the Baal Kari to lay in a few psukim of Mechodesh, and some will not. Okay, that's a matter of custom. Now let's discuss a few short ideas. The parasha begins, Eile Fikudei HaMishkan Mishkan Hoedus. We mentioned yesterday that the word Mishkan is juxtaposed. Okay, the pasuk says Fikudei, Fikudei, and we mentioned yesterday from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi calls Parshas Fikudei Parshas Mishkan Sheni. Why Mishkan Sheni? Because the word Mishkan appears twice. Chazal have a drush. Why does it appear twice? Mishkan, 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 and Mishkan is the same letters as Mashkan. Mashkon. A Mashkon is a pledge, collateral, that because we would eventually sin at the time of the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, Kadosh Baruch Hu would take from us the Beis Hamikdash as collateral. Instead of Hashem pouring His anger upon us, Hashem would spear Klal Yisrael as a whole and would take away the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. So the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, which is equivalent to the Mishkan was just was the structure in the Midbar and in Gilgal, which morphed into the Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Due to our sins, we lost both the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. It was a blessing in disguise. The question, I saw this in the Sefer, V'shololo Yechsar. It's the first part in the Sefer V'shololo Yechsar. It's a beautiful idea. He asked the question, why did Chazal have to teach us this halacha specifically here in the opening pasuk of Parashas Pikudei, Fikudei HaMishkan, the accounting, okay? The Pikudei means, but what's a good translation for Pikudei? Eile Minyone. According to the Unkelus, it means the counting, the calculation, the accounting. The accounting. This is the accounting of the Mishkan. Why did Chazal bring out this idea, Mishkan, Mishkan, the Mikdash was destroyed because of our sins, specifically when we're dealing with the accounting of all of the donations that Klal Yisrael gave to Moshe and Bezalel for the Mishkan? So he says a very powerful idea. We find here that Moshe Rabbeinu makes a very precise calculation. That's how the parasha begins. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, he loses track of the 1,750 shkolim, and he's embarrassed. He doesn't remember what happened to those shkolim, and Klal Yisrael began to suspect maybe there's something that's not right. And then Hashem put in his mind to remember, he used that 1,750 shkolim for the Vavei Hu'amude. So what do we find here? We find here that Klal Yisrael, they're very demanding. They're very demanding. They want an accounting. They're holding Moshe responsible. We're giving you a lot of money. We're giving you large sums of money, millions and billions of dollars to build this structure. We want an accounting for every single penny. Now, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's held to that standard. What's also interesting is that Moshe Rabbeinu only made a calculation for the silver. We don't find anywhere here in the parasha that Moshe made an accounting for the gold and not for the copper. For the copper. And then Farshim discuss why was it accounting for the gold and the copper. So the gold, they say a very beautiful answer, because someone who gives gold is very generous. And people that are very generous, they trust you. They trust you, so they're not going to hold you accountable. Copper, it's the other extreme. They're not so generous. Okay, let's put that aside. It's no big deal. So they don't want to know. They don't need to know the details. Silver is the hamoinam. The hamoinam, the average person is in the middle of the road, middle class. He works hard. He makes an average income. He gives money. He wants to know what happened to his money. people, the multi-billionaires, they give you $1 million the same way. They didn't work very hard for those $1 billion. So, okay, we'll give you the $1 million. We assume that you're a tzaddik. Moshe Rabbeinu, you didn't go to Shemayim before for 420 days. You didn't eat, you didn't drink. You're a Malach Elokim. We have faith in you. The things that are not important, as you said, we're not going to hold you. We're not going to make an accounting for the small things. But for the middle of the road, people want an accounting. We have a rule. The rule is Ein habracha mitzuya el bedavar hasamim min ha'ayin. Bracha is only found something which is concealed. When you start counting things, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not send down extra special bracha. Many people are very makbir not to count their children, not to count things which are very meaningful to them. You don't want to give an ayin hara. Bracha is not motzi el b'davar hasamei min ha'ayin. The ultimate bracha is the hashras hashchina. Klal Yisrael here, to some degree, sinned. They held Moshe Rabbeinu accountable. Moshe Rabbeinu has to be accountable. Tzaddikim, leaders, there's no question, they on their own, they have to be accountable, they have to be honest, that goes without saying. But we find here in the story, in the first two aliyahs, where Moshe Rabbeinu was under a lot of pressure by the people to be accountable for every single penny. And they caught him. They caught him. And then he had to go back to the books and find that indeed the 1,750 shkolim were used for the Vavei Hamudim. If you're holding, if you're living in a standard where you're accountable, you want to know every single penny, it automatically becomes davar that is not samui min ha'ayin. Every single penny. If it's not samui min ha'ayin, there's not going to be bracha.
Is it
samui means to be concealed. Davar hasam, something which is concealed, which is hidden from the eye, is where there is bracha. Something which is where it is not hidden from the eye, which is open to the eye. Everything is this transparency. You can go online, you can find that every single little detail about every person's life, you're not going to find bracha in such a situation. Therefore, if there's no bracha, what's going to happen? The Shechin is not resting on the Beis HaMikdash. It's not resting on the Mishkan. If the Shechin is not resting on the Mishkan, what's going to happen? It's going to be destroyed. The reason why Chazal teach us the Halacha Mishkan, Mishkan twice, that here we learn that the Bayis Rishon is going to be destroyed, and the Bayis Sheni is going to be destroyed. It's going to be taken as collateral. You know why it's going to be taken as collateral? Because there's no bracha. Why is there no bracha? Because you're living in a society where the people are so demanding, they don't trust their leader even for one single penny. You live in an environment where it's pikudei. There's an accounting. I demand, I have to know every single little detail. I have no faith in you. You got to, you know, the leaders have to be faithful. That goes without saying. I'm not trying to go say over here that you can cheat, obviously. But if the people don't give their leaders even any leeway whatsoever in every single penny we demand, we're just waiting, we're on a witch hunt, waiting to chap you, to find when you make a mistake. That type of society, that type of mindset, that type of environment is not as an environment where it's not some min ha'ayin, it's davar which is, the details are there, and it's not shaykh for there to be bracha. Ain bracha ella b'davar hasam min ha'ayin. It's not going to be some min ha'ayin, it's not going to be bracha, there's going to be churban. There's going to be churban, and that's why it says right here, right next to the word pikudei pikudei, the word the next to mishkan mishkan, right next to the word pikudei. And the Musa Haskell is, if you have someone, a leader, you got to give him some leeway. You got to trust him. That's why he's your leader. You have faith in him. There got to be a certain degree of emuna in the leaders. And there, they didn't hold anyone accountable. They trust, blind faith. Blind faith to make an eagle. Okay, let's go to another idea.
The women were accountable too. They held Moshe accountable? Or only the men?
It says everyone. The moral climate of society, the environment was, Moshe, what did you do with all the money? We want a cheshbon. And Moshe was stumped. He was under a lot of pressure. That's not a proper mahalach. Moshe on his own, at some point in time, would make an accounting for Klal Yisrael. But for them to come to Moshe and demand at kedei kach, where he was under so much pressure that he couldn't come to the right numbers, there's something wrong. That's not some min ayin, and that leads to mishkan mishkan. When it's pikudei, there's going to be a mishkan mishkan.
He says the Abravanel naturally. He says that that's Biadi Samar. He was in charge.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, why does it?
Why is Sama? Right. He was in charge of the account. Sama.
You know, Bezalel and Eliyahu did all the figuring how to do it, but he's Sama, Biadi Sama, and he was in charge of the actual accounting.
Very good.
The CPA on the job.
Okay, let me go to another idea. This idea comes from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Now, I'm not going to say exactly what he says, but the shorish of what he says is found in one of his svarim. It's a very profound and beautiful idea. The end of the parasha, when Moshe finishes the malacha, when he finishes building the Mishkan, let me see if I can find it. I'm going to probably have a stumble to find it. Pasuk says, Vayar, Pasuk, Perik Nem, Pasuk Nem Beis. Okay? Perik Nem, no, sorry, Perik, not Nem, Perik Lamites. Perik Lamites, Pasuk Mem Beis. After all the malacha is complete, Kechol Asher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe, according to all that Hashem commanded Moshe, Kain Asu Bnei Yisrael Eis Kol Ho'avoda. Pasuk Mem Gimel. Vayar Moshe Es Kol HaMalacha, Vihine Asu Osa, Kasher Tziva Hashem Kain Asu. It was done the way Hashem commanded. Vayivorech Osa Moshe. Moshe gave Klal Yisrael Bracha. Rashi quotes the Bracha. What was the Bracha? We say Mitzvah Shabbos. Vihinoyam Hashem Elokeinu Leinu Masu Yadeinu Koneinu Masu Yadeinu Koneinu. We say the Bracha. Vihinoyam. That was the Bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael. Okay. Now, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, he takes note that in Pasuk Mem Beis and Pasuk Mem Gimel, besides the fact that there's repetition, there are two different words used to describe the labor. In Pasuk Mem Beis, the word is Ho'avoda. Kechol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, kein osu b'nei Yisrael eis kol Ho'avoda. In Pasuk Mem Gimel, it says, Vayar Moshe es kol ha-melocha. He saw the melocha. Vihine asu osa kasher tziv Hashem kein asu. And now Moshe gave them a bracha, vayivorech oisa Moshe. So what's the difference between the word avoda and the word milocha? So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, he quotes the Gemara in Bava Mitzian daf pei hei. Let me read you the Gemara very quickly. The Gemara talks about Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Chia. They were having a disagreement. And during the disagreement, Kihavi Minsu Rabbi Hanina of Rabbi Chia, or Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Chia disagreed, Omar Le Rabbi Hanina Le Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Hanina said to Rabbi Chia, Bahade didi ko mintzis? How dare you argue with me? Do you know who I am? Do you know how brilliant I am? I am so brilliant that in case Chas V'Sholem would happen that the Torah would be forgotten from Klal Yisrael, all of the yeshivas daf Bava Metzia daf Pehei Amid Beis. Pehei Amid Beis, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines after it gets wide. Chas V'Sholem I Mishtakcha Torah Yisrael Mehadarno Lo Mipilpule. I on my own brilliant mind would be able to reconstruct the entire Torah. I'm super brilliant. And if I tell you something, if I tell you a svara, don't argue with me. Don't argue. This is what he says to him. Amar le Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia says back to Rabbi Hanina, ha-ha, you think you're special. I'm even more special. The Hade Didi convinces the Avde Litoira Deloy Tishtakach Mi Yisrael. I'm even better than you. Because I will do things to make sure to guarantee that Torah will not be forgotten from Klal Yisrael to begin with. Now, what am I going to do? What does all this mean? Maya Vidna, Azilna, Vishadina Kisna. First thing I do, I don't need a brilliant mind. All I need is to go out to the field and plant flax. And from the flax, Vigadilna Nishbe. And then from the flax, I'm going to create nets. Vitzadina Tove. And with the nets, I'm going to trap deer. Umachilna Bisrayuliasme. And after I trap the deer, I'm going to feed the meat to orphans. Vaarichna Megilta. And I'm going to take the hide of the deer, I'm going to make parchment. Vichasavna Chamisha Chimshe. I'm going to write 5 books. Vesalikna Lemosa. I'm going to go into a city. Makrina Chamisha Yenuke Bechamisha Chumshe. I'm going to read 5 children. Each child, I'm going to teach one of the 5 books of the Torah. Umasnisa Shisa Yenuke Shisa Sidri. I'm going to teach the 6 children, each child going to teach one Seder of Mishnayis. V'amarnu luhu ad hadarna v'asina. When I go away, and I have to go away for a few moments, each one should teach the other what I taught them. Akra hadadi v'asna hadadi v'avdi le'litorod lo'itishtakach mi'yisrael. Hainu the Amar Rebbe, and Rebbe in fact said, Gedolim kamo gedolim ma'iseichia. We have here a disagreement between Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chia. What is the ideal way to preserve Torah? Rabbi Chanina says, my brilliant mind will restore the Torah in case it's chas v'shalom forgotten. Rabbi Chia says, I don't need a brilliant mind. All I have to do is start from the grassroots, literally, flax roots. Start from the very beginning, grow some flax, and from the flax we'll make nets, we'll trap animals, we'll have parchment, we'll write the Sefer Torah, we'll teach the children Torah, the Taras HaKadosh from the very Shosh. What is the different approach between Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Chanina? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says that's the difference between the two Pesukim, Pasuk Mem Beis and Pasuk Mem Gimel. Pasuk Mem Beis, it says, Kechol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, kein osu b'nei Yisrael eis hu avoda. Klal Yisrael, when they took upon themselves the mission of building the Mishkan, it was begeder avoda. Avoda means it was with yigia, it was avoda has a connotation of hard pressing labor, work, hard work. Okay, I'll give you an example. Tal shavasam el holokim min ho avoda. Klal Yisrael, when they worked in Mitzrayim, they built Pisum v'Ramses, they exerted themselves, and their prayers reached heaven from the avoda. Vayar Moshe wasn't impressed with the avoda. Moshe saw they've done all of this hard effort to fashion the kelim. Vayar Moshe, what Moshe was impressed with was Eskol HaMelacha. The word Melacha has a different connotation. According to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, it means creative labor. You start from nothing and you fashion something. For example, Hilchos Shabbos, we know that on Shabbos you only chayv if you do Meleches Machshavos, Melacha. A person can the whole day go back and forth. You can take all the swarm here in this room and you can travel back and forth in this room the entire Shabbos, wear yourself out. You've not done anything, you're not chayv for doing, violating any law of Shabbos. It's only when you create something, when you start from nothing, yesh me'ayin, creative labor. Moshe, what gave Moshe satisfaction from the Mishkan, the creation, was not the hard labor, the brilliant minds of Klal Yisrael working to produce and fashion the various kelim. It was the melacha, not the avoda. What inspired him to give them a baracha, a lasting bracha, Vayar Moshe Eskol HaMelacha V'hinei Asu Osa, it was done. The Melacha was done. Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, which means they started with nothing, dealing with people who were on the 49th level of Tumah, and they came out of Mitzrayim, and they reached the level of Ruach HaKodesh where they're able to build the Mishkan. Yesh Me'ayin. This is what I'm impressed with. Not the brilliant mind of Rabbi Chanina that's able to mafalpel and restore Torah mipulpule. Like Rebbe said, Rebbe says, Kama gedoyle ma'isechia. Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, sided with Rabbi Chia, not with Rabbi Chanina. That is what is deserving of bracha. So this is something very powerful, Musar Haskel, that there are bracha is found in creative labor. Creative labor means to have avoda and melacha. What was your question?
Can I ask?
Yes.
So you see, from this, you can have a brilliant Rosh Yeshiva.
Of you can't bring in modern day examples of Rosh Yeshiva. What?
You have an administrative head of the school.
No, you can't. I'm not giving you. Don't go there. The point is that in everything that you create, when a person goes out to accomplish something in this world, there's a lot of effort. There's a lot of yigia. And that's necessary. But the bigger picture is the malach. The bigger, you have to look at the big picture. The big picture is, what have you accomplished? When everything is said and done, you've worked very, very hard. But what have you accomplished? What have you created? The word malacha is a word which refers to creative labor. It refers to synthesis, where everything comes together. Now, this same vart, in just different words, in a different angle, Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw everyone do their little thing. There's a Medrash which says that there were many people that were involved in Blechs the Mishkan. Everyone did a little thing. One person made the rings, and one person made the bars, and one person made this, the carriage, and one person was in charge of making the asados. But no one really knew from their friend. No one really had the expertise. No one saw the big picture. They all came to Moshe. They presented everything to Moshe. And Moshe was enabled to get everything together, put everything together into one big picture. To put everything, all the different parts of the Mishkan, they complemented each other. That's called malacha. Malacha is the interaction of all the various parts. When all the small parts, they synthesize into one machine, to one working object, that is what is called malacha. That is where bracha is chal. Bracha is only chal when all the parts come together to accomplish the larger picture. The larger picture is called malacha. Malacha has a much deeper connotation. It's creative labor. In Mitzrayim, the reason why they were crushed was because they were not accomplishing anything. Pisa Meramses collapsed. It's quicksand. That was part of the way they tried to humiliate, they tried to subjugate the Jewish people. Vatal shavasam el holokim min hoavoda. Perhaps if they gave the Jews in Egypt some good jobs, where they were felt accomplished, they were doing something worth accomplishing, then they would have not cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It would not have been so bad. But it was because they accomplished nothing with all their crushing labor. Vatal shavasam el holokim min hoavoda. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, what did He give us instead of avoda? He gave us milocha. He gave us the concept that we do malacha. To build a mishkan, we do malacha, and on Shabbos we don't do malacha. These two words go hand. You need the malacha, you need the avoda to come together to perform malacha, but ultimately the bracha is chal on the malacha. Okay, yeah.
Rambam tells a miser during the war, they tied someone to a millstone.
Yeah, right. And after all the years, right. Right, right. Okay, let me go to another idea. This idea you can say in Parashas Truma, and we could also can say the following idea in Parashas Pikudei. Parashas Pikudei, after all the kelim are created, Moshe begins to set up the kelim. And the way we describe the shulchan and the menorah is very different than the way we describe the other kelim, in that their position is relative to one another. Okay, let me read you the pasuk. Pasuk here towards the end says, "Vayitain es hashulchan be'ohel moed." You shall put the shulchan in the ohel moed. Al yerech hamishkan tzafona, reading from Parshas Pikudei, on the northern side. Michutz laparachas. I am in Perek Mem pasuk chav beis. Perek Mem pasuk chav beis. Vayitin es hashulchan ba'ol moed al yerech hamishkan tzafona. Okay, so we start with the shulchan. The shulchan is on the north side. Michutz laparachas, outside the kodesh hakadoshim. Vayarach alav erich lechem. They arranged upon it the arrangement of bread. Lifnei Hashem kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Okay, next pasuk chav daled. Opposite the shulchan, al yerech hamishkan negba, on the southern side. Why is it necessary for the pasuk to say that the shulchan, that the menorah shall be nochach, shall be opposite? Let us just say the shulchan will be put on the al yerech hamishkan negba. Why does the pasuk emphasize here, and as well in Parshas Truma, the same thing appears there a little bit differently? There's an emphasis that the shulchan and the menorah shall be opposite one another. Now, I came across an idea from the Gra. Now, the Gra, I want to use the Gra as a haskala to suggest, to say something, which is a chiddush. I don't know if it's emes, probably is not, but I wanted to present it to you anyway, and perhaps you can make it emes. You can work it out for me to make it emes. Let's discuss the Keteres. There are three kelim in the Heichel. there is the shulchan, the menorah, and then towards the entrance is the mizbeach hazav, upon which we offer the ketores. Every day we say, we should say the parasha of the ketores. So let me read you the parasha of the ketores. Let me read you first the braisa. Tana rabbanan. Pidi magidaris kaitat shloish me ois veshishim ushimono monim hayuva shloish me ois veshishim vachamish kimin zchama monil choyem pras shachas zabayim ufshloish me mishem shayim vachul vachulu the achad osar samonim hayuva 11 samonim the Elohein hatzari the hatziporin hachelbena vahalavoyna mishkal shim shivimone mor ukitzia shibolas nerd vicharkoi mishkal shisha shisha osar Mone hakosh neimasar v'kilufa shlosha v'kinamon tisha v'kinamon. Okay, 11 samimon. So 11. Problem is in the pasuk. Let me read the pasuk. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe parshas kisisa kach lucha samim. Take spices, notof ushecheles v'chelbena samim ulavona zaka. 4. So how did we go from 4 to 11? So it's a very surprise. The Brisa says, the answer is, Kach lucha samim is a drasha. Sam is 2. Blashen Ram, 2. Notof is 3. Shecheles is 4. Chelbana is 5. Then it says samim, double it. Samim, we repeat, 5 is another 10. And then it says, Levona Zaka for 11. So we have a drasha. It says explicitly in the pasuk only 4. But the way we read the pasuk, we make a drasha, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 11. But it only says actually 4. And Chazal tell us, in fact, the Torah does not actually say 11, just says 4. The only 4 that are ma'akev are the 4 listed. The others, you can really use anything you want. Chazal have a mesorah, they have a tradition, that the other ingredients, the other 7 ingredients, shall be what we have listed in the Braisa. We're very makpid to have, dafka, we list in the Braisa, those things that appear there. But it only says in the Torah 4. Now, there's a Gra. This is not a Hasidic Shavar. So I'm telling you now, it's from the Gra. The Gra says...
The Gra was a
Chassid. The Gra was a Chassid?
Yeah, Chassid. Yeah, Chassid Mevilna.
Chassid Mevilna. Okay, so the Gra says that the fact that we have in the brides of 4 and 7, the Gra says the 4, the Iker part, what is Keteres, is something which brings up smoke. Keteres, you put on the Mizbech, the Keteres Hasamin, and a pillar of smoke rises. What causes the pillar of smoke to rise? What is the ikar? These 4 ingredients. And these 4 ingredients are listed in the Torah. They do not necessarily have a pleasant fragrance. But they are the substance. They are the base of what brings up smoke in a column above. The other 7 ingredients that are added into the ketores do not on their own have koach to produce a column of smoke, but they smell, they have a fantastic aroma, a fantastic fragrance, and they very much enhance the 4 major ingredients which produces the column of smoke. So the Gra very clearly says that when we deal with the ketores divide into 2 parts, 4 and 7. The 4 ingredients listed in the Torah are the ikur samimonim of the ketores, which produce the column of smoke, and the other 7 enhance the column of smoke by producing a pleasant fragrance in the column. Okay, now let's go further. The Gra then goes on to say that it's not a coincidence that the Shulchan has 4 letters. This is a Gra, and this is not a Chassidus Shavart. This is the Vilna Gaon. It's not a coincidence that the Shulchan has 4 letters. Shin, Lamed, Ches, Nun. And those 4 letters correspond to exactly the 4 things, the four ingredients that are specified in the Pasuk. Nun, well, let me read it around. Shulchan is Shecheles.
Where is this Pasuk on Kisisa?
Kisisa, towards the beginning of Kisisa, the first Aliyah. Kach lucha Shecheles, Shin. Levona is Lamed. Ches is Chelbena. Nun, Notaf. It's not a coincidence that Shulchan is Rashi Tevos, the four major ingredients of the Ketores. And in fact, he goes on to say that's what Chazal mean, that Bizman Shabbos Hamigdash HaYekayam, the Mizbeach was Mechaper. But Bizman HaZeh, when we no longer have a Mizbeach, Shulchonoy Shal Odom Mechaper. So what is the simple interpretation of this Chazal before you hear this Gra? The simple interpretation is now referring to the Mizbeach. Now referring to the Mizbeach of the Mizbeach Hazav, where you offer the Ketores. The similar interpretation of Chazal is the Mizbeach HaChitzoin, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, where you offer Oilois and Shlomim, the big Mizbeach. So Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikar, when a person sinned, you would offer Korbanos on the Mizbeach HaChitzoin. Bizman HaZeh, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so the person's dining room table is where you serve your friends, you do Chesed, you do Gemilas Chasadim, you serve poor people food, and so on and so forth. To chesed, that's going to be a person's kapar. The Gemara says it's not Bishan the Gemara. Bishan the Gemara is Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikar, the Mizbech was Mechaber, means the Ketores. You have the ability to offer Ketores. The Ketores is also the ultimate kapar. It prevents the Magefa. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, during the time of Magefa, they brought Ketores, and the Ketores Mechaber takes over Magefa, it's Mechaber on Lashon Hara. We had Ketores. And when you had Ketores, you had the Shecheles, the Levoina, the Chelbana, and the Natov. But Bizman HaZeh, we don't have the Mizbeach HaZav, and we don't have the opportunity to offer Ketores, to bring up those four major ingredients. So what's the next best thing we can possibly do as a Zecher for those four ingredients that brings up that column of smoke? You have your Shulchan. Because your Shulchan, you can do Chesed. And doing Chesed will be Mechaper for your sins. And there's a Remez, because the Shulchan has those same letters. The Shecheles, the Levoina, the Chelbana, and the Natov. Unbelievable. That's where the Gra stops. Okay, there's more to this Gra, but this is what the Gra says. So what do I want from this Gra? Well, what about the other seven ingredients? Where are they? Well, it's not a coincidence that the menorah has seven neros. The menorah has seven neros, and it's not a coincidence that the Torah here very strongly tells us that the menorah has to be nochach ha-shulchan. We have a shulchan, and opposite the shulchan there is the menorah. Now let me just, on a very simple level, why do you put the menorah opposite the shulchan? Everyone knows the Chazal that a suma does not have pleasure from his food. Person cannot see what they eat, you are denied a degree of pleasure. That is why Chazal tell us, the Chal Yisrael, it was very painful for them to eat the man, although they can taste any flavor they wanted, but they were not able to see the food. They can think about any delicious dish, but they were unable to actually see. When we, in the Mikdash, what do we have? We have the Shulchan. The Shulchan represents the Lechem. But if the Lechem, it's dark, when a person eats bread, it's dark, you don't see what you're eating, you're denied the pleasure, the Sipuk Hanah, from earning a Parnasa. Part of the Sipuk Hanah is to see how, just to have pleasure in your parnasa, to have satisfaction in earning a parnasa. So the menorah represents the light, it illuminates the bread, so that when you eat the bread, you have sipur kana. That is a simple understanding of why the menorah must be nochach the shulchan. But on a deeper level, just like the Gra taught us, that in the Ketores there are two different groups of ingredients, there are the basic four ingredients which produce the column of smoke. And then there are seven more ingredients which are variables, which the Torah says is up to you, and in any seven ingredients which would enhance the smoke, the column of smoke, with a delicious aroma, with a fragrance which is pleasing to your senses. It's the same thing. Light or illumination is what gives pleasure, satisfaction to eating of the bread. The seven branches of the menorah are here to enhance the shulchan. Now, what do we take away from this? Or what I want to try to really bring out is, in let's go back to the age-old question. Why in Parshas Truma Tetzaveh is the Mizbeach HaZav presented in Parshas Tetzaveh, when it really should be presented in Parshas Truma with all of the other kelim? In Parshas Truma we have the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Aron, everything is there, the Mizbeach HaChitzain, everything is, all the kelim are presented in Parshas Truma, and for some strange reason, the Mizbeach HaZav is presented in Parshas Tetzaveh. So perhaps the answer is, what the Mizbeach really is, it's the synthesis the blending of the menorah and the shulchan. We have the shulchan. The shulchan is bread, flour and water. It's the bare necessities. It's what lechem. Lechem represents, but it's just the basics. It's pure flour and water. And then we have the menorah, and the menorah represents light, or, which light represents chokhmah. It represents ruchnias, spirituality. The menorah represents Torah. And the two are separate. There's the menorah on the left, the seven branches of the menorah on the left, the shulchan on the right, the bare necessities of what we need in this world on the right. Two separate. It's man's mission in this world, his goal in this world, is to take the two and join the two together, to synthesize the two, to merge the physical world with the spiritual world. The Ketores is the fulfillment, the synthesis of taking the Shulchan, the Shecheles, the Levoina, the Chelbana, and the Natav, and merging it into taking the seven branches of the menorah, the illumination, synthesizing it into one, and producing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nachas Ruach, the fulfillment of what man has been brought into this world to accomplish. That's what the Mizbeach is, the avoda of man. It is the fulfillment of what all of the Kalim, what Hashem has given you on this world, what you're coming to achieve. That is why the Mizbeach is the very, very last thing. You build the Mishkan. What do you do with the Mishkan? In the Mishkan you have a menorah, you have a shulchan, you have an aron, and you have a mizbeach outside. What is the goal? The very last item presented in the beginning of the Mishkan, Parshas Truma Tetzaveh, is the mizbeach hazav. Because the mizbeach hazav is, after I've given you all the kelim, what is the goal? The goal is to take everything that I've given you and to synthesize everything, to merge it into one item, which is represented in the Ketores. The Ketores is the Shulchan, it's the basic column of smoke that has been enhanced with the spiritual elements of the seven branches of the menorah into one item, which produces satisfaction. Something which is satisfying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, satisfying to man. And that's really what Purim is all about. Purim is hinted to in this is Meshavas Mevarchim Chodesh Adar, Meshanichnas Adar Barim Simcha. This is the Yom Tov of Purim, the Chodesh of Purim. What is Purim? Esther and Mordechai, where are they hinted to? Esther and Mordechai are alluded to in concepts of Besamim. Mordechai is Mor Duror. Esther is Hadassah. Hadassah is Hadas. Esther he Hadassah. Hadas is Hadassim. Mordechai and Esther, they are alluded to in the concept of fragrance. And what is fragrance? What is fragrance? What is the Yom Tov of Purim all about? It represents the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the world of Teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found. The Shechina and the Yad Hashem can be found in the world. It is the ultimate synthesis of the menorah, the recognition of the Ruchnius, that there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina, Edusha, Shechina, Shoeva, Aretz, blended into the Lechem, into the basic necessities, the basic bare bones of this world. Purim is all about our survival. The survival, the physical survival of Klal Yisrael, Hashmir, Lahar, Lamedes, Kol HaYehudim. But we have survived. We have not just survived Lechem. We have survived by recognizing that the menorah and the Lechem are really all one, this and they all blend into the Ketores, which includes these 11 ingredients.
Problem with you was that maybe they had this Mishnah all the time and they didn't invite the Aniyim to the Sukkah.
They denied the four. You're on a witch hunt.
They kept it
themselves. Okay. We're looking for Chesronos in the earth. Okay. Okay, let's go to another short idea. In this week's parasha, we discussed the various kelim. When we mentioned the menorah, it says something about the menorah that does not say about any other of the kelim. It says this, HaMenorah HaTehoira. When it enumerates all the kelim, it enumerates the all of the clothing of the Kohanim, all of the Aron, and the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach HaChitzon, it doesn't say the word Tehoira. But suddenly when it comes to the menorah, it says, Es HaMenorah HaTehoira. So my high. What? Pasuk appears. Give me 1 second. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Perik Mem Pasuk Lamed Zayin. It says es michse ayrus ha'elim, es iron ho'edus, es ha'shulchan v'es kol kela v'es lechmaponim, es ha'menorah ha'tahara es ne'rosecha. Why does it say the word ha'tahara by the menorah? So one answer I'll tell you, simple answer is, when was the Mishkan complete? The Mishkan was complete on Chof Hei Kislev. It was complete on Hanukkah. It was not assembled until Aleph Nisan. So as a remes, that the menorah stands head and shoulders above all of the other kelim, because the day will one day come when the Chashmonaim will come into the Mikdash on this very day and be mitaher the Mikdash, and the menorah will serve as the symbol of the ultimate tahara that the Chashmonaim will do in honor for the Mikdash. So as a little remes, it's a remes, ha-menorah ha-tahara. We give the menorah an extra degree of tahara in this week's parasha to allude, this is its time. The menorah, it was chof, this parasha took place chof hei kislev, the first day of Chanukah, and therefore we want to give the menorah its due, its extra credit, because that's what Chanukah is all about. It represents the tahara of Klal Yisrael from the Avodah Zarah, from the Tumah of the Yevanim. So we make mention of the word Atah. That's one. That's perhaps one pshat. It's something else that I came across. This is interesting. I don't have a full understanding of the depth of what this means, but it's definitely interesting. In Parashas Bikudei it says Hamenorah Hatahira. Okay. In Parashas Bahaloitzcha, okay, I didn't look. I don't have the pasuk in front of me. It says about the shulchan ha-tahara. Different parasha, parashas behalaisa. So in combination, throughout the entire Torah, two kelim are described with the word tahara: the shulchan and the menorah. Nowhere does it say the aron is tahar, and nowhere does it say the mizbeach hazav is tahar, and nowhere does it say the mizbeach achitzan is tahar. Only these two kelim. The question is why. Why from all the kelim is only the menorah and the shulchan tahar? So I saw an answer, beautiful answer, I don't remember who says this, that the only two kelim which did not come in contact with blood, the aron came in contact with blood. It's a fair issue of Gemara. Gemara and Yoma, go lefnai v'lefnim, you sprinkle, the kongol sprinkles lefnai v'lefnim, k'nei da'at ha-kaparis, the blood at times, you're spilling it between the badim, and it touches the aron, it touches the kaparis. It gets wet with blood. The Mizbeach HaZav on Yom Kippur, or Par Helam Davishal Tzibor, or Siri Avodus Kochavim. You sprinkle blood in the four corners of the Mizbeach HaZav, and the seven times, Al Tihar Shal Mizbeach, the Mizbeach Achitza. Even the Kiyar, it says in the Medrash, that when the Kohen did Zurika, one of the reasons why the key was made out of mirrors, there's a Medrash that says, because when you do the Zurika, you're supposed to look at, you're supposed to be mechavin l'shem the ba'olim. What happens if so they use the kiar to use as a mirror to see the ba'olim, whether it was a man or a woman, they would do the zrika, and as they did the zrika, they were looking in the kiar to see who the ba'olim were. So the kiar was used at the moment when they did zrika sadam. They didn't actually, blood did not come in contact with it. But when they did the zrika, they were looking at it, so we can associate blood together with the kiyar. But the
support for that, when you say alamichya,
yeah,
you say biktusha of tahara.
Okay.
Regular benching, you never say kay. Tahara.
So what's the so reason? Yeah.
There's no meat involved. You're not eating blood. You're eating peiros or wine.
Shiva saminim. There's no blood involved. Biktusha of tahara. Beautiful. Wow.
You're eating meat or whatever.
Wow. Very good. Very good. Wow, Rabbeinu Meir, good say. I didn't say this, you said this. Very, very good. Very, very good. Okay, very, very good. These are the only two which blood does not come in kindness. What's the limud musar? The limud musar is, in this world, it's necessary to shed blood. We know that. Person has to make sacrifices, even for Torah. Even the Aron, this blood on the Aron HaKodesh. That's the way the world is. It's not a perfect world. But if this blood has been shed, it's not a perfect world. It's not tar. Hashem did not allow David HaMelech to build the Beis HaMikdash. Why not? Mi Godel Lanu Mi David HaMelech. David's whole life was devoted for one thing only, to build the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem said, David, I'm sorry. It's not a perfect world. You're the perfect person, but it's not a perfect world. You shed blood. You shed blood. You cannot be the one who builds the Mikdash. The Mikdash has to be built in the state of Tahara. And you're not a person who's Torah. You shed blood. The Menorah and the Shulchan have no Shaychus to Dam. The Mela, they're the only two in the Torah that are called Tahar. It's Limud Musa. We think you can't have it all. You have to recognize in life there are people that are Tahar, and for them is miyuchat certain things, and other people are great in their own right. But everything has its boundaries and its limits. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea to me is very chav. We mentioned yesterday, it's short, very short, simple idea. We mentioned yesterday that in Parshas Pikudei, when Moshe assembled, erected the Mishkan, after every single thing he did, it says, Ka'asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. And in fact, it says it 18 times. So we learned yesterday, 18 times, connected 18 times, 18 brachas and Shemona Esrei. But there's one place that mysteriously, Ka'asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, is missing. And where is that? Where is it missing? It's missing when Moshe puts up the chotzer. The chotzer, which goes on the outside of the Mishkan, it doesn't say Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Let me read you the pasuk. Vayaviu es haMishkan. Okay, it starts with the Revi. Pikudi Perik Mem Pasam Gimel. They bring to Moshe the Mishkan. That's the oil. Yes, Kol Kelav. And then they begin to assemble it. Let me go further. Okay, where is the assembly begins in Shishi, Vayhi, Bachodesh, Arishon, Bashana, Hashenis, Lech, Lachodesh, Shukama Mishkan. Okay, we jump ahead to Chodesh Nisan. Vayoke Moshe, Hamishkan. Vayite Nesadonov. Puts, and then we go through all the parts of the Mishkan. Vayifros, Esoilas, Alamishkan. Kasher Tzi, Vayosem, Esmichsech, Oil, Olav, Milamola, Kasher Tzivo, Hashem, Es Moshe. Okay, then he takes in the Aron, and he puts the Aron inside Kasher Tzivo, Hashem, Es Moshe. The Shulchan. Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, and so on and so forth. Okay, then we come to the very end. Vayokem es chotzer sav la Mishkan. He puts up the courtyard around the Mishkan. Vamizbeach vayitein es mosach shay chotzer. He puts up the curtain on the outside of the chotzer. Vayichal Moshe es hamolacha, and he finishes off the molacha. According to the flow, the theme of the psukim until now, it should conclude with Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. What happened to that concluding statement that this was done according to what Hashem commanded Moshe? So the answer is very simple. Chazal say if a person is a Talmud Chacham, but not a Yorei Shemayim, learning Eoyv, learning about Yorei Shemayim, it's like a person who has the keys to the inner chambers, but does not have the keys to the outer chambers. Great Talmud Chacham, a brilliant person, you know all the secrets. You know all the secrets, what goes on inside. But if you don't have the key to get through the front door, the outside courtyard, you're not coming inside. Yirah Shamayim is a Pesach, is the entrance to the outer courtyard to make your way to the inner courtyard. The Chotzer, all the Mishkan, inside the Mishkan, the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach, all the Kelim, the Kohanim, their clothing, these are all the big secrets. But the courtyard that surrounds the Mishkan represents Yirah Shamayim. You can't come in Fereshu Gemara. The courtyard to get into the inside represents Reishas Chochma Yiras Hashem. You first have to go through the steps, come to Yirah Shamayim. Chazal tell us everything in this world is preordained. Hakol Bidei Shamayim. There's only that much you can do in this world. Most decisions already have been made for you. You come into this world, you put into an environment, you're guided in a certain direction. That's the way it is. Most decisions have already been made for us. Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Miyirah Shamayim. The only thing that's not been decided for us in any experience, any dilemma we have that involves Yirah Shamayim, that's our decision. Chutz Miyirah Shamayim. Everything about the Mishkan is Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. This is what Hashem says, do. You have no choice. You have to do this. This is the command that Hashem gave Moshe and has to be done. The only thing that it doesn't say Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe is putting up the outside curtain. Because the outside curtain is Yirah Shemayim, and this is for you to do. I'm not telling you to do it. It's your Bechira Chavshis for you, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. And that doesn't say Kasher Tziva. It's Vayokim Es HaChotzer Sav La Mishkan. He no gets credit for this. Moshe gets credit for this. So whoever put it up, he gets credit for this. Every person has to build their own Mishkan in this world. It's not because Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. I'm giving you full credit because that's what you're in this world for. You're in this world to express Yirah Shamayim. Okay, with that we will have a chance.